You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
New York is disaster, what's going on in New York, and we could help them a lot. They have to ask. If they don't get it straightened out soon, I'll take care of it.
June the 4th, 2020, President Trump today saying, New York, you better get your act together. That in an interview on Newsmax earlier today. More violence in New York City overnight, and in fact, one unprovoked attack leaving three officers wounded. Absolutely unprovoked. Another one ambushed. For those out there who say, look, these protests are peaceful, often they are. Most in the streets are peaceful, but you still have that thuggish character surfacing in all of these, sometimes linked to Antifa probably, sometimes just out for fun. That's all it amounts to. They don't really care. They really do not care about the memory of George Floyd, the story that sparked all of this in Minneapolis. The man held down by a police officer until he basically suffocated to death. So they're ignoring that, and at the same time, they're just basically, for many of them, having fun, are creating as much violence and chaos as they can because they can. Now, here's the other side of that story. You're going to hear, and in fact, former President Obama said, those are very a small group of what's going on. That's a small number. And yet, everyone's asking why so much attention for them instead of the main story? Could you turn and use that same theory and thinking process to say how many officers actually commit excessive force, abuse, and kill suspects compared to those across the nation? It was quiet for the most part in most places last night. Many arrested, of course, previously, have now been turned loose in part because of new bail laws in New York State. They didn't have to post bail, so bring them in. The cops bring them in, say they're here, we picked them up in writing, okay, you can go again, you can go on back out. And we had a case in St. Louis where some of those arrested the other night for the incident in St. Louis where four officers were shot, charges not filed, and they're being dropped and set free. The story you've heard, I want to make sure you get the whole story. And when I give you the whole story, you might not like what I'm going to say about it, but I want to make sure you have everything. I have a big question for you. Who really wants to be a cop nowadays? Who wants to stand in the line and face these crowds and this anger? Even if you're an honest, good, hardworking officer doing everything by the book and then some, it makes no difference to those who have suddenly said, attack the police. There are new charges filed against the officer in Minnesota who did hold down George Floyd. Charges now being up to third-degree murder. I'm sorry, up to second-degree murder. It had been third degree. Let me correct that again. They are increasing his third-degree murder charge to second degree. I want to make sure I don't confuse you with that. And they're planning on charging the other officers with aiding and abetting second-degree murder. Second degree, obviously, stronger than third-degree murder. In the meantime, our Senate Judiciary Committee now beginning to investigate the story behind the Russian collusion story, the Robert Mueller investigation. I want to spend some time on that today because that's one of the stories being lost in the midst of everything that's going on in our streets right now. This tactic carried out by members of the FBI and Justice Department to basically undermine the Trump presidency, basically a coup attempt, and the former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein admitting, yeah, I didn't know. In fact, he appears to be a stooge for all those who are trying to destroy the presidency, if not a stooge, an active participant. We're going to spend some time on that. And another point for you. Drew Brees, a perfect example lately. If you dare say all lives matter, you are a racist. No question. You can't say all lives matter. Well, I do, and I will continue to say it. I'm not a racist. I believe all lives matter. That's not trying to detract from black lives, except for I want to point out all lives matter. And when I look at the Black Lives Matter movement, I get burned every time. I get so upset when I see them just pushing that one agenda. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It appears to be a completely cowardly, despicable, unprovoked attack on a defenseless police officer, and thank God we're not planning a funeral right now. The men and women of this police department should not have to withstand any more, not one more attack. I think we are all fed up with what we're seeing in many levels. This violence has to stop.
That's Dermot Shea, New York Police Department Commissioner, talking about the attacks on officers last night in New York City. Three officers now hospitalized. Police say it was all an unprovoked attack on officers during an anti-looting patrol in Brooklyn. A couple of the officers patrolling in a police car, a man simply walked up, stabbed one of them in his neck. And seconds later, officers heard gunshots, ran to the scenes, and then they say the suspect, the guy that had a gun in his hand that they believe belonged to one of the officers, the gun itself, opened fire on them, an ambush. As he said, we're thankful that we're not planning for funerals for one or more New York Police Department officers at that point. This is what I was talking about the other day. All of this in the streets, beyond the protests, beyond your First Amendment guaranteed protests and marches. I'm talking about the rioting, the violence, the arson. All of that is going to continue to give others a reason to just attack cops, period. You'd be sitting somewhere having lunch. Somebody could walk in and suddenly ambush an officer and, of course, catch other innocent civilians in the process. And I still don't see any mainstream media calling this out and condemning it. Not saying we don't condone it, but absolutely condemning it. And supporting our men and women in blue. the New York Police Department union president said. When it comes to these riots and these attacks on the cops, he said part of the issue is we're not allowed to do our job. We're not allowed to do our job. We've got politicians at the top telling us how to do it, what we can do, and what we cannot do. He pointed out those supposedly in charge creating laws such as the no-bail laws that allow criminals to quickly be released back on the streets. Then they go right back out and victimize the people of the city and their properties. They get arrested again. It's like a revolving door. He said these guys create these laws that make it easy for the criminals to turn right around and walk back out, and then they're blaming us, the police. He went on to say you have to fix what is wrong with society. Fix what is wrong regarding the justice system that is not letting violent criminals pay their time because too many times now they're giving a pass. Another former New York Police Department lieutenant said, New York City is in a state of chaos, all due to poor leadership. And again, this event last night, the officers weren't engaging a riot crowd at the time, not even a peaceful protest. They were simply doing their job, patrolling the city, making sure no citizen was being abused and attacked somewhere, and at the same time protecting property when suddenly they are attacked. President Trump says we have done a lot of good things already in some of these communities. Based on what he'd said the other day, remember the president saying to these governors, you need to get hard, you need to make sure that you get control of your streets again, and if you can't do it, I'll send in the National Guard, or I'll nationalize the Guard under me, or we'll send in troops. He said some of you governors are too weak to do anything. And here's how he summed up what's happened since that time.
We need safety in our cities, and when they don't take care of it, we took care of it in Washington, D.C. I said 2 days ago, this is the safest place on earth. We brought in incredible people. They took care of the situation very easily. It was very easy for them. And in Minnesota, as you know, we took care of that situation with their great city. We took care of it very easily. Once they went through 3 days of hell, and I had to say, you've got to get them in. Once they came in, it was like a knife cutting butter. It was so easy. But we have other cities they like to hold out. New York is disaster, what's going on in New York, and we could help them a lot. They have to ask. If they don't get it straightened out soon, I'll take care of it.
He's right about that. And yet, every time he tries to do something like that, you've got the mainstream media en masse challenging any authority he has and saying he's too rough and he's not taking into account what's happening in this nation and he's not unifying. How many in the streets are unifying at this point? Even if they're peaceful protests. Do we have a problem in this nation? Yes. Do we have racism still rampant in some areas and sections? Yes. But attacking police when they're really doing their job, I mean, they're not doing anything but patrolling, and they're attacking them simply because they represent law and order. The feds are now investigating whether professional Antifa agitators are linked into all of this. They believe that they are, in fact, coordinating some of the violent activities during the protest. They're looking into reports of rocks and bricks dropped off at various locations. Just happened to see a load of bricks somewhere, so it's all going to be along the protest route where folks can pick it up and throw it. Now, the folks marching in the original protest might have no intent whatsoever to create violence, just exercising their First Amendment right. But the agitators, the thugs, they're going to use that to their advantage. And they're not only going to demean and basically make the marchers subject of additional attacks, they are going to basically what they can, loot, burn, destroy. Because they don't care about the peace and safety of the communities. So the feds are now looking at various trends and checking on some of these groups and what they have or have not been doing. They point out that numerous times, in addition to the bricks dropped in various places along a march area, you've got folks being transported in way away from the protest area and brought in and put on the line so they can get involved. Seattle put out a piece of video, rather an anarchist in Seattle put up a piece of video that shows around midnight a crowd of about 100, 150, all white agitators with umbrellas throwing bottles at police, trying to show, see, it's not just these guys, it's a white extremist. I know they've been trying to put a lot of it on white extremists, and if that's true, then crack down on them as well. We do know this, according to some of the undercover video coming out by Project Veritas, Antifa teaching vicious tactics, encouraging their followers, if you get involved in something, go for the eye. Gouge the eye out. That's a quick way to stop anyone you're dealing with. Video showing an alleged undercover video of an Antifa member telling others, make sure that you get the eye. Make sure they don't catch you doing anything wrong, but do it anyway. We do know Antifa and other organizations have been involved behind the scenes by this one case. A former high-level Obama administration intelligence official guaranteeing a $250,000 bail for a New York City lawyer accused of firebombing a New York police cruiser Saturday. This person served in the Defense Department, State Department, during the Obama administration. That means nothing as far as tying it to Obama, just telling you what they had done. And this person says her best friend was the one being charged. Her best friend charged with trying to throw a Molotov cocktail, or throwing one actually at a police vehicle. Thank goodness no officers were inside. One point about this, she comes up and finds a way to make a $250,000 bail for this particular person. And then you start looking into it. Because that's another question. Where does some of this money come from, and the origin of it, and who's supporting it? Who's putting folks in positions and bringing them into town and taking part in these things? Well, the same person that is suddenly wanting to bail out the firebomber, accused firebomber, has previously received monies from the Paul and Daisy Soros Fellowship for New Americans, founded by the brother, of course, of left-wing mega donor George Soros. There's a picture of the woman being charged sitting in a car holding a beer bottle with a wick of cloth or paper coming out of the top of it, obviously a Molotov cocktail. No picture of her actually throwing it, but police say they had evidence that she did. But if you've got somebody behind the scenes, like a George Soros, sending in money, if in, by fact they are going to actually be held in charge with something and not going to be simply released on some of these no-bail policies, and suddenly rushing forward and making sure they got money to get them out on a $250,000 bail, obviously we've got others being involved behind the scenes. President Obama, former President Obama, is defending all of these protests. And by protest, I'm talking about the peaceful protest. I haven't seen him directly say I'm in favor of the rioting and so forth, but let me read this to you and you tell me what he's actually defending. His statement: just remember, this country was founded on protest. It's called the American Revolution. The American Revolution was a war. It was not people marching peacefully in the street. It was this nation trying to become a nation. Yeah, there was protest then, and there was violence then. There was a war. So you have to tell me by his remarks, while he insists that everyone should be peaceful, how many others are going to rush forward and say that we're just having a new revolution? And again, the president also, former president also said, it's a shame that so much attention is paid to the minority, the tiny minority, he just describes it, that engage in violence. I raise the question as I did earlier. Why is it that the left and others can complain about if there's too much focus on the rioting and burning and attacks, that it's a tiny minority, but when one officer is involved in something or a couple, they want to basically say every police department is full of racists. Rioters released without charges in St. Louis. We'll be discussing that in more detail in the next hour. I want to turn after this break my attention back to what's happening regarding the Mueller investigation, now in the hands of the Senate. Stand by, please.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The top guy at the Justice Department is saying there wasn't anything there, but yet he signed the FISA, named Bob Mueller a special counsel, and broadened the scope of Mueller's investigation. For goodness sake, that's the main problem here. They did this when there was no evidence to support undertaking this investigation. In fact, when we deposed Jim Comey, after he was fired, he told us up until the day he was fired. So 10 months of investigation, July 31st, 2016, until May 9th, 2017, when he's fired, he said during that 10 months, he still didn't know if they had anything. In other words, they didn't have anything all that time, and yet Rod Rosenstein names Bob Mueller as a special counsel and puts our country through 3 years of what we went through. That's why people are upset about this, and that's why we got to get to the bottom of it all.
That is Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. Now, he's the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, but he was talking about testimony taking place yesterday in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, led by Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. Yes, we are beginning to try to get to the bottom of what was behind the so-called Mueller investigation and who was doing what, who knew what, and when, and what was the intent. Well, we know the intent, to destroy the Trump presidency. So Rosenstein, under oath in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. And according to Jim Jordan, as you heard, he made it clear that there was never any reason to put the Mueller investigation in play. But he did. The other thing that was pointed out yesterday by listening and watching Rod Rosenstein and the former Deputy Attorney General, as he was talking and so forth and making his statements, they're flying in the face of testimony previously and statements from former FBI Director, Acting Director McCabe, and even FBI Director Comey, and others. So somebody's lying. Which one is lying? Or all of them lying? It is clearly a case of CYA every step of the way. Now, at one point yesterday, Rosenstein adamantly denied the story that he had suggested wearing a wire to record President Trump and attempt to invoke the 25th Amendment, maybe, to remove him from office by some means. He says that never happened. Well, that's not the story we got from the FBI at that time. They really were basically saying, yeah, he was talking about doing that. Somebody's lying. Now, what happens when you get these guys in the same room? They turn on each other. And I kind of enjoy watching that. I kind of enjoy them tearing at each other. Because the more they do so, the more the lies get exposed. The more we learn about why they were actually doing what they were doing. And we already knew it, but we get the proof. Now, of course, the mainstream media has been trying to ignore these hearings as of yesterday and those underway today and more to continue, I should say. And yes, you could lose it in all these stories about what's happening on our streets. But I don't want to simply have it be lost in all the noise. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into more detail, and you're going to hear more from Jim Jordan and also Senator Ted Cruz. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Let the midnight special.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
On May 17th, you appointed Bob Mueller the special counsel. On June 29th, you signed the third FISA application. On August 2nd, you signed the second scope application. You came into a profoundly politicized world, and yet all of this was allowed to go forward under your leadership. That unfortunately leads to only two possible conclusions. Either that you were complicit in the wrongdoing, which I don't believe was the case, or that your performance of your duties was grossly negligent.
That is Senator Ted Cruz during the Senate Judiciary hearing yesterday talking to Rod Rosenstein based on some of his testimony. When Senator Cruz said you were possibly complicit in what was taking place, Rosenstein kind of had a little wry smile, kind of shook his head and dropped it as he started writing something on paper. We're trying to get to the bottom of what actually was taking place when the left was generating all of the talk about Russian collusion and doing everything possible to destroy the Trump presidency before it got started. I guess they thought it was actually going to go away. No, it's not. Now, right now, of course, a lot of the testimony and information being lost because of everything else that is happening. But the date had already been set for this hearing, and so they're moving forward. I'm reading a piece from Lawfare Blog, and it points out for years it was Democrats who wanted to talk about Russia. Not anymore. Democrats these days would be happy never to hold another hearing on the subject, whether because they believe the truth has been exposed to the degree it ever will be, are because they believe they've garnered from the subject all the political benefit they're going to get from it. And they're generally happy to let the Mueller report and the fallout from it be the final word on the subject. Now, to that point, let me add this. They did not get what they wanted. They did not get Trump out of office, but that was the intent. But, yeah, they're just going to have to accept that. This Lawfare blog continues, for Republicans and for the president, talking about the Russian investigation is like listening to golden oldies. It rallies the base. It keeps people mad. It's supervillains well-drawn. The occasional hearing at which to denounce James Comey and all of his works is like comfort food. That's probably true. But it's not just to rally the base. It's to point out what was taking place. Senator Cruz made this comparison.
This was, from day one, a politicized, partisan targeting of the president, of his campaign, of his team, of General Flynn, of Carter Page. It was wrong. It was abusive. You know, take everything Richard Nixon did in office that was wrong, abusing power, and by any measure, what Barack Obama and Joe Biden did was much, much worse.
You might disagree with that statement, that what they did was worse than what Nixon did. I don't really jump into that agreement, but that's what Senator Cruz said. Let me put it this way. It's certainly comparable and equivalent. Now, if he's looking at the fact that the Nixon case was obviously trying to protect his presidency and everything, and in this case it's trying to overthrow the presidency, yeah, it is much, much worse. Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, the one who basically gave the green light, the one who decided to appoint the Mueller investigation and move forward with it. Congressman Jim Jordan, his opinion on that again.
I really think the big takeaway yesterday is, remember who said, when Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham asked him about, was there any there, and he said, no, there wasn't. Remember who's saying this. This is Rod Rosenstein, the number two guy at the Justice Department, the guy who at the time was acting attorney general. Rod Rosenstein, the guy who signed the FISA application of renewal for Carter Page. Rod Rosenstein, the guy who named Bob Mueller as the special counsel. Rod Rosenstein, the guy who broadened the scope of the investigation. The guy who did all that now says there wasn't anything there. And that's been what we've been saying for 3 years.
And the other part of the testimony that came out yesterday, it's confusing. It's confusing, and yet it's basically providing a cover for Rosenstein because he's the first witness up. He's the first witness as they begin this new investigation into the origins of the Russian probe. He gets to make his case right away, but we already know it's in conflict with prior testimony and remarks by former Deputy FBI Director McCabe and former FBI Director Comey. And more is going to be unveiled. It's going to be peeled back. It is like an onion, truly. And the more you peel the layers back, it might make you cry a little bit more, or maybe laugh with tears, tears of laughter. Because as you watch Rosenstein yesterday, ducking and weaving, trying to find his way through the questions and protecting his integrity, at the same time, hopefully, avoiding any perjury charge. The information he put forward was convoluted, not clear, and basically almost laughable. In fact, Senator Cruz said, you watch what Rosenstein was doing and how he reacted to all the questions as we continue to hammer him. And Senator Cruz called to account, you remember the 1960s era TV show Hogan's Heroes? Remember that? Do you remember Sergeant Schultz in the Hogan's Heroes TV series? His attitude was, just doing my following the orders. I don't know nothing, only following the orders. Well, Senator Cruz said, that was Rosenstein all over again yesterday.
I see nothing. I hear nothing. That was Rob Rosenstein's defense today. Every element of, essentially, he signed the papers in front of him. He said he didn't read the FISA application. He said he kind of read it quickly, but not every word. And he just took the FBI's word for it. So the fact that You had an FBI lawyer fraudulently altering documents. He didn't ask any questions. The reason someone is put in a leadership position at the Department of Justice or the FBI is to lead. And that means if it has been corrupted and turned into a partisan weapon, you got to ask the hard questions. And sadly, what his testimony today was is that he did not.
No, he did not. I want to share a couple more comments from the Lawfare blog about what took place yesterday. And it points out that Rosenstein is a peculiar ingredient for comfort food, if that's what we were agreeing with earlier. He does not repent the indictments that Mueller brought. And it was Rosenstein who sent the stroke page text messages to Congress, then ordered them released to the press. Like I said, a lot of confusion as to who was doing what, and was he doing that at that point to cover himself down the road? And it continues saying there was at least or should have been embarrassment to Rosenstein himself. His own decisions, despite his stated confidence that he got, quote, all the big issues right, he made catastrophic errors, left the department in far worse shape than when he inherited it. Yeah, he said, I got all the big issues right. It adds and concludes in part that it wasn't leadership. Rosenstein is nobody's hero of this story except perhaps his own. And Congressman Jordan says, when you look at what happened and how it happened, how it came to pass, Rosenstein was weak and submissive.
Remember what the town was like in 2017. Everyone in the press was clamoring for a special counsel. We got to do this. All the Democrats were pushing for it. There was chaos. But, Sessions had recused himself because he was afraid. I think in the end, Rod Rosenstein was afraid. He was nervous, and he just caved to the pressure. Every Democrat wanted it. All the press wanted it. And frankly, half the Republicans wanted it. So Rod Rosenstein did the easy thing. Instead of doing the tough thing and saying, I'm going to dig into this and figure out what actually happened, he says, I'll just put it to Bob Mueller. And Bob Mueller then became... The special counsel investigation then became the insurance policy, because then they knew they had 2 years of this investigation, 2 years farther out, where they could cover up all the things that took place at the highest levels of the FBI with McCabe and Baker Strzok and Page and Comey.
And we're going to find that exposed in more detail as they are called before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And in particular, the one thing that was supposedly passed along by FBI about Rosenstein, saying that he had at one point talked about somebody should wear a wire when you go into Trump's office next time. And he was questioned about that. Mr. Rosenstein, the New York Times reported you suggested wearing a wire to secretly record President Trump after he fired FBI Director Comey and linked to the firing of the Russian investigation. The article reported you discussed recruiting cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. Did you suggest or hint at secretly recording President Trump? Yes or no? Answer, I did not secretly hint at recording President Trump. They stopped him there and said, did you ever discuss the possibility of invoking the 25th Amendment? I've never in any way suggested the president should be removed from office under the 25th Amendment. And then he wanted to add some more explanation, and they moved on to something else. He said enough at that point. That when we get Comey, McCabe, and others in front of the same committee, somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. Maybe they're all lying. As I said earlier, they know in Washington, they know CYA, they do play that game. Stand by more.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the New York Times printed an editorial, an op-ed, authored by Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas. And in it, he called on the federal government to send in the military to quell violent uprisings following George Floyd's death. President Trump had already said the other day, if they cannot get control of it, we will use it under the Insurrection Act. So Senator Cotton then added this for his op-ed, calling on the president to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807 to protect our communities from these criminals rioting after George Floyd's death. He wrote in part, these rioters, if not subdued, not only will destroy the livelihoods of law-abiding citizens, but also take more innocent lives. Many poor communities that still bear scars from past upheavals will be set back still further. One thing above all else will restore order to our streets, an overwhelming show of force to disperse, detain, and ultimately deter lawbreakers. So Cotton wrote that, and it was printed by the New York Times. Well, many social media users, of course, disregard and argued the point. Another Times opinion writer said, I feel compelled to say I disagree with every word that Tom Cotton had in his op-ed. It does not reflect my values. But then what you get is, again, to pull the race card. He was talking about, there are a lot of minority communities. They've already been hit hard in prior incidents. Pandemic hasn't done many of them much good because they had to close their stores. They're trying to reopen, and now if you got riots in their neighborhoods and burning and torching those businesses or chasing chain businesses out of the area, it's hurting those same communities that they say they want to raise up. Well, you're not raising it up. You're destroying them. But some of the other writers for the New York Times began to continue what was one stated as an open revolt because of the New York Times published that editorial by the senator. Politico's Alex Thompson said New York Times reporters in a rare open revolt over the opinion side running Tom Cotton's op-ed calling to deploy the military to restore order. And then, as I said, they began to push on the race card. Some of them are claiming by the remarks of Senator Cotton, it puts the black staff at the New York Times in danger. One of the writers saying, I know a lot of New York Times employees feel like they can't speak out right now. Another one, the New York Times puts black people and black journalists in danger because of that Tom Cotton piece. That's not okay. Still another one, you think that Cotton using the Times neutered both-sidism to call for domestic massacres, but in fact the Times ownership and leadership are using Tom Cotton to launder their own desire for and advocating domestic massacres. I don't know where some of these folks are coming up with that. The New York Times is not a big fan of conservatives at all. I don't know why they suddenly now want to say, well, it's being used as a weapon against the liberals. They did publish the op-ed. They published many much, much worse in the sense of calling for some kind of action. The senator was simply stating that we have a law, and if we need to use it, we should. So the New York Times is under fire now from the left as well. Good. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. I know you know about the Guardian Angels in New York City. They started back in 1979, Curtis Sliwa, putting them together. Signature red jackets roaming areas of the city and helping those in need, not carrying any weapons. relying on martial arts. So some of them were patrolling streets last night, and they stopped some guys from looting a store, six of them, but they came back with about 100. And Sliwa says, we do not back down. We don't surrender or retreat. So a battle enraged. Several Guardian Angel members, including Sliwa, suffered injuries, fractures, and so forth, and I'm sure some of those attacking them did as well. All they were trying to do is maintain law and order. I pointed out earlier that in many cities across the nation, rioters being arrested, brought in, and then they're suddenly released, just turned loose. It happened in St. Louis City as well. I'll break down that story for you and also some of the other cases. And what's behind this? Where is law and order? What I've got to say about the St. Louis case, you might not like. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.